Man, I was hot for you.
I was hot for you.
Okay. You wouldn't know it.
I kept it on. Yeah. I was keeping it low key.
I think you were keeping it in your imagination because I don't think that's what happened.
You can ask literally every one of my best friends who's also in your friend circle if you choose to.
On the list of people that I
literally also people you have had made out with. At least minimum made out.
Sometimes you make out people. I mean, I feel like making out shouldn't even count at this point. Like, in general, everybody, just because you made out with somebody is supposed to mean something. You know what I mean? You think about the people you made out with.
Yeah.
Since the first make out?
No, I'm like, if we make out, we're married kind of person.
Yeah, but you've been married a few times emotionally. Ooh. You know?
Ouch.
I also enjoy, well, no, I enjoy. Bryce, I like divorced. To hit it and quit it.
This episode of Dear Jessamine has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that's just not for everybody. You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it, and we think that's great. We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
What I want to do to myself is selfish.
Hey, Jessamine.
Hey, Ash. Can I tell you something real quick before we like really get into it?
Sure.
I was watching the recordings of us talking. We've watched a lot of recordings of us talking because we watched the middle of nowhere. We have a new series that's coming out on YouTube.
What's good, y'all? I'm Jessamine Stanley.
And I'm Ash Fina.
In summer 2021, we sold our stuff and started living full-time in our Coleman Rubicon trailer.
We're traveling across the U.S. to get to know ourselves, each other, and the beautiful, complicated, messy country that bore us.
Called Middle of Nowhere. It's about our trip on the road. And we were watching some of the drafts. Mm-hmm. And I was watching the segments where we're talking to each other. Mm-hmm. And I like when we look at each other over when we look at each other in the camera. What are your thoughts about that? Did you notice that at all?
Yeah. Yes, I noticed. Yeah. I don't have thoughts about
you
it.
I'm curious if your thought is that you disagree.
I don't disagree.
Okay. Heard. Are you? Before we got on the mic, you were mad at me. Are you still mad at me?
I wasn't mad at you.
Okay.
How are you doing? What are you calling in?
I'm doing okay. I'm calling in patience. Patience.
Your story and you're sticking to it.
Patience is my great teacher, and I really struggle with it often. Although I guess ultimately I always have patience, you know, like regardless of whether or not I want to.
You're an extremely patient partner at very least. And boss, I would say.
I find myself being deeply impatient frequently. And so
your experience of it would be quite different than mine.
That makes sense. Yeah. What are you calling in?
Oh man, fuck. I wasn't really. I'm calling this blunt real quick.
Oh, hell yeah.
Can I call in that lighter?
Please, call in the lighter, call in the blunt. You're having a day of it.
What do you mean?
I'm just thinking, well, first of all, as you know, I was listening to Hillary Clinton's masterclass, and she spent a whole like chunk of time talking about compartmentalizing and the importance of it, how it's required in order to do this many things. I was so validated by it because I have said so many times that I have to compartmentalize. And I feel like you've pushed back on me about that in the past, or like just given me some interesting reflections.
I think healing requires integration. So that's I think the compartmentalization of things is like just delaying your inevitable
precisely.
Healing.
That is exactly right. It definitely, well, I mean, I think it complicates the healing process. Your last 24 hours, at least they seem to have been very emotional. And then we were just having a little,
I was just being kind of a bitch. This
Baby,
is what
don't
happens.
Say that you were having
okay.
your feelings.
I'm calling in the strength to hold the weight of all of my feelings today.
Oh, literally,
because
though
I am having a lot, and I do find that I sometimes ask you to hold them for me or with me, and you're like, sometimes you're like, I'm having feelings too. Let's just hold them together. And sometimes you're like, I'm not really having feelings. So I'm not going to do that. And I'm like,
rude.
So you've never loved me before in your entire life. I'm glad I'm getting the picture now.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Anyway, my 24 hours. Yeah, so I am calling in the strength to hold the weight of all my feelings, but I do feel pretty capable. And I do want to speak to your patience because you've been extremely patient with me today and so many days. And I was feeling grateful for it actually while I was throwing a tantrum this morning. You were being really like kind and loving to me about it. And I was like, thank God she's being so sweet to me, but I couldn't get out of my tantrum. Anyway, so yeah, I'm calling in strength.
We have a dairy query today, don't we?
Dairy queries are one of my favorite things because we can focus on somebody else's problems and not ours.
Well, also they highlight, the whole show started as dairy queries.
That's right. And it does feel like a throwback moment when I'm thinking about answering these questions.
I love the name dairy query too. I don't know who thought of that. I can't remember. Was
Me.
It a Chaz thing? Oh, it was you.
No, yeah. It's been, well, query is, I love the word query.
Yeah.
Like it is in the same category for me when I say I don't prefer something. I don't know why.
Oh,
it's
totally.
In like the same accent in my brain.
Yeah.
Which I say I don't prefer things all the time. That's my preferred way of saying that something isn't to my liking. Because it's true. I just don't prefer it. It's not bad. I don't think it's wrong in the world, typically. Mm-hmm. I just really don't prefer it. It's about me. I'm not judging you. I'm talking about me, my preferences.
You can love it.
I don't give a fuck.
I don't prefer it.
And if you love it and I don't prefer it the way that I usually mean I don't prefer something, I don't really want to watch you loving it because I really don't prefer it. But anyway, Deary, I was thinking about one time because, you know, Underbelly has bellies.
Mm.
And I was jealous. And I was like, what is Dear Jessamine has a whole bunch of people who really enjoy it too. Like what's their name? Don't they get an identity?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, honestly, in developmental trauma circles, people talk about the ways that giving somebody a nickname is like claiming and belonging them,
mm-hmm.
you know? And like, if you don't have nicknames, like if your parent gives you a nickname, it's because they thinking about you all the time. And they love you.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want to switch up the way they address you because it's boring to say your name all the time.
Well, it's like I come
intimacy.
Up with nicknames all the time for everybody in all things
yeah.
and always have. And it's always just like what that person's name is. It's like, this is your name and you know it. And it's maybe not what other people have called you before, but you knew that was your name.
You knew. I love your roommate in freshman year of college, maybe?
You're talking about Mouse?
Yeah. Who else? Your other partner had a rugby name too, right?
They'd be so mad if that was on here.
Okay,
all the rugby names are the best nicknames because they always come from something you did drunk probably.
No, you had Tank.
She is a tank.
Didn't you have Foot?
She burned her foot. She hurt her. He broke her foot. That's why.
I knew somebody named
Shout
Shoestring
out.
One time. I just feel I love
totally.
People's like now nicknames. You know what I mean?
Everybody. Ducky. Everybody.
Exactly.
But I didn't play rugby though.
So that's why people who listen to the show are Deary's mm-hmm. for Dear Jessamine. And Deary Query is like, I love to use the word queer in all of them. Ways. It's like the way that for We Go High, we are constantly punning. Just like, weed, love you
weed
too.
People love to
Because we're high.
I'm so offended by it. Every time that a weed person puns, I'm like, can you please stop it? And then I laugh.
Because it's great.
I'm laughing and I'm like, guys,
it's,
this is
enough. The joke is like a Portlandia joke where it's like not funny and then it's like happening so many times over and over again. And it's like, okay, I guess it's a little funny and then it's not funny again.
I watched like one part of one episode of Portlandia and I didn't need it anymore. And I think it didn't. I think it's because it's not for me.
The definition of that white people show.
That's what I was just thinking. I was like, I think that show's for white people.
Yeah.
But like,
it's
I was,
for me, it's for
the part that I watched,
there
I
are
was
so
like,
few shows
yeah.
for white people, Jessamine. I really feel like I wish you could just give us this one. Frasier?
Like, who's getting Twin Peaks?
You,
David Lynch would be like, I'm not, that
I refuse.
Actually, I guess Twin Peaks is pretty white.
No, it's like is overall. It though? Because it doesn't matter. Moving on.
Man.
Deary queries. So we have
Shout
a
David
query.
Lynch. Should I start?
You start.
Yeah, okay. Hi, Jessamine and Ash. First off, I love your podcast. I'm not a regular listener, but I feel like I always manage to listen to an episode right when I most need it in my life. Your most recent episode really hit me in the feels. So relevant for me right now. Also, Jessamine, I absolutely love Underbelly Yoga and I recommend it to all my friends. That's nice. Hi. Glad to practice with you there.
I'm a polyam queer femme from North Carolina who's currently living in Philly to be closer to my partner and to get some excitement, change of pace. I've lived in North Carolina my whole life. Today is actually my 33rd birthday, and it's the first time I've spent a birthday not in North Carolina.
My partner and I have been friends for about a decade. I know him because he dated one of my best friends for 8 years. Yikes. Yes, that has been a horrible mess. Yes, my relationship with my friend and some of our mutual friends has definitely suffered. We've been together for a little over 2 years now, started hooking up a few months before the pandemic, and it's been a true roller coaster. I've been going through it in terms of depression and dealing with PTSD, and he started a master's program that takes up anywhere from 75 to 100% of his time. We've been long distance, with him living in Texas, then in New Jersey, and about 7 months ago, I said, fuck this, I'm moving to Philly so I can actually be with you, and it's been great since then.
Now enter the problem. He's finishing his master's program and has applied to PhD programs all over the country. He's afraid of cohabitating. He says he doesn't want to do it. He thinks it kills the romance of a relationship, and he doesn't want to risk it distracting from his studies. Please note, he lived with my friend for their entire 8-year relationship. I can't see moving somewhere new and distant, like Chicago, and not living with him. I also personally really want to cohabitate with a partner. It's fucking funny because before him, I never wanted to cohabitate. I even built a tiny house specifically because I was like, this is just for me. I don't want anyone else in it. But that motherfucker walked into my tiny house, lived with me in it for almost 2 months, got me all kind of new relationship energy, deep in love feels, and said he wanted us to work towards being together, towards living in the same place.
At one point, when he was in Texas and getting jealous of my boyfriend in North Carolina, he said he wanted us to move in together. Now he apologizes for having said that.
Anyway, I just have no idea what to do. I don't want to lose him, but I also don't want to be crying every day. I hate long-distance relationships, like truly hate. So the only solution I see going forward is for us to work together to change the structure slash form of our relationship. I want us to be together for life, and I think us being polyamorous gives us the opportunity to do that. But how? Can you give me any advice about how to take a relationship from primary partner status, we talk every day and prioritize spending time together over all other extracurriculars, to long-distant friends, occasional lovers? Is there another option that I'm just not seeing?
I really respect both of y'all's commitment to each other and to hard conversations and to your other partners. I'm just like, how do I do it? How do I be strong enough to accept that it's more important to keep this human in my life than it is to have a specific kind of relationship with him? Should I even accept it? At what point am I just not getting my needs met?
I'm confused and sad. Please help.
I think this is the most incredible question. Thank you so much for reaching out to talk about this, because this is something that I just think is real. And I feel like you have all the information that you gave. Like, at one point in the question, I was like, how old are you? And you said that you're 33. Mm-hmm. And this is a PhD program that your partner is going into. Mm-hmm. And you have already relocated to Philly, but y'all are not living in the same house. You have a tiny home that you have built in Philly that you live in, where he's able to come and visit and spend a lot of time together. And like, mm-hmm. it feels like you live together, but you don't actually live together. And now he is applying to different PhD programs that are going to take him out of Philly. He is not interested in cohabitating. You are interested in cohabitating, and you're trying to figure out what should happen in y'all's relationship. Like, what model should you move to?
And furthermore, like, he is fixing to move, and you're deciding if you want to move with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if you're not going to do that, you're going to let him move, stay put, maybe go back to North Carolina. Who knows? But you're considering not going with him as a partner.
Yeah.
And my question is, okay, maybe I'm projecting. I'm projecting.
Everything's projecting. Yeah.
But, you know, I think that there is like, there's this real thing I'm noticing in a lot of the people that I love right now, which makes so much sense. The pandemic is, this is just so pandemic-y. This whole message is so like, I feel like you may, it's just like such a pan, it's like, do I risk losing something that's not working in place of literally potentially nothing?
And you know? I think the pandemic has made us feel the urgency of life and feel like, okay, so if this is a good thing, then I should just get this good thing right now.
Yeah, and keep it as long as I can.
But it's not coming from a place of abundance. It's coming from a place of scarcity. It's like, what if I don't have this thing in the future? Like, what if something goes wrong? Or like, what if no one ever loves me? What if this is the person that I'm supposed to be with? I feel like when shit's supposed to happen, it happens naturally, you know, and that if it's not happening naturally, then it's probably not a good idea to try to make it happen.
Like force it.
Especially when it comes to like travel or home life or like something that someone else said they don't want to do.
Because
like
you're in... Sorry.
No, I'm like, if he said he doesn't want to live together, I would not push up against that.
Yeah, and that's what they're saying at the end. By the end, they're saying like, okay, so how do I make this? How do I make this possible that like we're friends who have erotic feelings for each other?
So I was in a situation not unlike this. It reminds me a lot of me and the person whom the person I say is the one that got away. This person and I, we started dating when we both lived in Durham. And then a month after we met, he moved to Denver to go to graduate school, and where he lived for like a couple years. And I would go and visit him in Denver, and he would come to North Carolina. We would meet in different places that I was working. Like we met in New York and LA and maybe Seattle. I don't even remember. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it was fun. Like I enjoyed having that kind of relationship, especially because like you can still talk and you can still like have the cohabitation, I think, is its own kind of intimacy that if you're looking for that, trying to have it with somebody else might get in the way of you finding it with some person. Well, it's not going to get in the way of it.
What's supposed to happen is going to happen.
Yeah. But like you might, because you're not trying to cohabitate with somebody who doesn't want to do that, you might find somebody who does and still be in a relationship with this person that you really care about and living up in your tiny home that for good fucking reason, you said, you literally said, I made this for me. But then I feel you. He came up in there, sprayed new relationship. Y'all did it together. You went to the store and got new relationship energy.
And Febreze sprayed it everywhere.
You literally put it on everything. And now your house smells like that shit. And it's like, oh, so you're just going to leave Philly? You're just going to go to Chicago now? That's great.
Which, like, low key, I've never met a person who applies to a PhD program, like, at the spur of the moment. I feel like there's, like, a process. Like, you knew on some level this was coming. Mm-hmm. And, like, and I feel you. Like, I guess I'm staying in the place of, and this is more projection, the place of like, you know, you want to be with this person. That's why you're writing all this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so just really, really like driving home, don't, you know what I mean? Don't want to. Like keep the instinct of the tiny house and needing to be alone. The instinct of, you're not trying to be in Chicago if y'all aren't living together. You know what I mean? There is an app called Marco Polo.
It is amazing.
And other than getting to fuck, it's literally pretty much like being
there. Like literally.
In a lot of ways.
Literally it is.
It's the shit.
I will say that getting the fuck is important. And so, but I mean, like how frequently do you need to do it? You know, like really think about that.
Exactly. Because, and this is what I'm learning about cohabitation. A couple of things on the note of that. There's so many notes that I have for this. Mm-hmm. But on the note of cohabitation, I feel like I'm in this conversation actually lately about like, what is it to be a nesting partner, to live with somebody, to want to see that person all the time. And then thinking about you and me, like nesting in this house, this new house that we were in, trying to like get the right amount of furniture, but not just fill the space and be intentional, blah, blah, blah. Just have all these conversations about like, how do we have people over? In what way? What room is for what? Like, what energy do we want to keep where? All these really amazing conversations. But on the flip side, there's all this like shit you have to deal with together. Mm-hmm. There's all these, like, I'm literally, now that I said that, I'm like, hey, did you ever get the landlord's text and like, do the garbage account that we're supposed to.
I've you know emailed them.
Stuff like that, though. I'm just like, that is what's not hot about nesting partnership.
You don't think that's hot?
No, I mean, I do, but it's not just hot. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God, literally.
I love it because I love you and I get to do this with you and I'm glad. But like there are so many things about like a weekend dad relationship that is exclusively hot and that you don't have to do some of the like.
You don't have to do the heavy lifting.
Especially if, you know, that is not necessarily your strong suit with everybody, like your style of doing that. Anyway, I'm just saying, like, I guess I'm thinking about the ways in which like cohabitation has its drawbacks. There are things that like I know that I'm not pursuing in my life because like we love to sleep together. So when we live together, we sleep together. When we sleep together, we don't wake up as early as when we don't sleep together. So like we could live in this space and not sleep together.
Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes even.
Yeah.
And I promise we would wake up earlier and we get our shit started sooner and whatever. So like it's,
We probably will at some point.
Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, I mean, it's finding the balance. And it's, I think your point is like really relevant here too, that like if somebody says they don't want to live with you.
Don't do it. And don't try to make them do it.
Think of it as a blessing.
Oh my God. The floor is lava. Don't do it. I swear to God. If he said clearly, if anyone ever says they don't want to do something, don't try to make them do it.
Especially like living together. Cause then you have to fucking live with that.
Literally. You know? That's exactly right. And they didn't want to do it anyway. And they're always going to be holding that shit against you. And even if they say that they're not, they are.
I feel like too, I've found myself saying out loud to somebody recently, like, everybody's talking about how hard things are, whatever. How's it been? Oh, it's been hard, whatever. And then, you know, inevitably, well, for me, it felt important to talk about the pandemic. Like, it's so normal. Like we are at this point years into something that is like, it's like, that's just what life is now. And to not think of it as like a really hard and scary thing where everybody's life just changed all of a sudden, like a trauma, you know what I mean? And I feel you too, Jessamine. You said the other day that you're so bored by talking about trauma. And I am too, but it's also relevant. Yeah.
I was talking shit about myself. I'm not bored of time. I think there
is a saturation point though of being like, yeah, literally everything's trauma. I get it. You know what I mean? Like for me, I feel you. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying like, I was like, dude, yeah. I mean, I'm fatigued in ways that like, I could just be getting older, but I do think it has to do with like just ongoing fear. Fear as like, as like a constant. And so anyway, I just want to say that you're talking about this dearie is talking about going through it, depression, PTSD, all these things, the true roller coaster. Raise your hand if you're not on a fucking emotional roller coaster. And I'm not saying that your story is invalid. I'm saying we are in this together. Like I fucking feel you about the fucking roller coaster.
But then I also feel you about wanting that companionship and wanting to know that someone is going to be down for you. I really appreciate you bringing back up this person's trauma, because shout out to you for like getting up every day and making it happen.
That's
because
that
is not, I mean, it is so hard. And like,
sorry, it's so hard.
No, I'm just saying like, I feel like if you find family fucking anywhere at this point for all of us, if you find it anywhere, you cling on to, you glom onto it. And like in this situation, I can imagine you just being like, I just need something. And like, but that's also something to just a place to sit in consideration.
Yeah. Well, you got, I mean, you said it's a place to sit and I think you're absolutely right. But what I was about to say was you got to believe that if that is truly what you're wanting, needing, and seeking, that you will find it and may not be this person who doesn't want it with you.
Absolutely.
But I am also looking at your instincts to get a tiny house. I'm looking at your instincts to, you know what I mean, not go to Chicago. Like, I'm just saying, like, maybe
you know what
don't
to do.
Want that.
You know, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like you know what you need to do or you don't want it. But it's like not maybe the... It's not what you want to do, but it's like what you think you should do.
Okay.
It's like, I should eat broccoli.
But the real thing, the real question and the real thing is like, what is advice on how to make a person you're in love with just a friend?
You say it's just, I mean, I'm in love with all my friends. Just a friend. Like my very good friends. Not all of them, everybody. And all of my like best friends, I've had some level of crush on at some point. Right. like some kind of, all of them.
Remember singing, I guess I'll see you next lifetime. And
we had that
friends
that
you had a big crush on.
Man, I was hot for you.
I was hot for you.
Okay. You wouldn't know it.
I kept it on. Yeah. I was keeping it low key.
I think you were keeping it in your imagination, because I don't think that's what happened.
You can ask literally every one of my best friends who's also in your friend circle, if you choose to.
Also how, on the list of people that I...
Literally also people you have had made out with.
At least.
Minimum made out.
Sometimes you make out people. I feel like making out shouldn't even count at this point. Like in general. Everybody, just because you made out with somebody is supposed to mean something. You know what I mean? You think about the people you made out with.
Yeah.
Since the first make out?
No, I'm like, if we make out, we're married kind of person.
Yeah, but you've been married a few times emotionally.
Ooh.
You know?
Ouch.
I also enjoy, I like divorced. To hit it and quit it.
You sure do. Okay. So the real question is advice about how to take a relationship from primary partner status.
Yeah,
to long distance friends, occasional lovers. God,
that's what's.
What do you need to say about somebody else who's not on the show?
So I don't think I don't think of my things. I don't think of my partners as hierarchical. Like, I don't think of my relationships as hierarchical generally. But I have a former nesting partner at this point. Someone that is no longer. Thank you. Are you holding my hand for real?
Yeah.
This means so much to me.
I'm sorry. I would.
This is my hardest thing right now. And this means, well, it's not my heart. It's one of my heart. It doesn't matter. There's no hierarchy on that. but this is one of the things. I have lived with my other partner for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And as of this past summer, we no longer live together. And that is a really huge deal to me. Like, and it is a huge evolution on, like, the way that I understood our relationship. Like, I did not understand a world where me and my other partner would not be living together. Like, mm-hmm. I just assumed that was going to be forever. And I am hopeful that one day we will live together again in some way, shape, or form. But if that was it, if that was the whole thing, that we had a good run. I loved living with them like that. Mm-hmm. I loved holding home with them like that, mm-hmm. making home with them. Like, I never made home with someone before. It was so transformational for me and also a huge part of my identity, mm-hmm. to be this person's nesting partner. Mm-hmm. And that transition is a transition that I would say I am still in. Mm-hmm. And I think that the things that make it easier for me are being really honest with them whenever I need emotional connection with them. Like, I've had some moments with them on the phone and on Marco Polo where I have laid myself bare in a way that I have not maybe ever in the entire duration of our relationship. And one of the things about our relationship is that we started dating a very long time ago, mm-hmm. when we were young, and we were younger than we are now, and we did not have the tools for communication that
you met when you were 19.
We met when they were 19. I was about to turn 20, mm-hmm. and they, or maybe 20, I don't remember, 20. Yeah. Wow. 19. No, maybe they were 18. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We were young, and we started dating when I was 23, 24, mm-hmm. something like that. And our ways of communicating with one another are just so different now than they were then.
Yeah.
And it's like our relationship has had to change along with it. And that is scary because there's this fear for me there, especially whenever we first started talking about the transition, there was a great fear for me around, like, what is this going to be forever? Mm-hmm. Like, what does this mean, that we're breaking up? Like, are we not, thank you for wanting to hold my hand. Does this mean that we're breaking up? Does this mean that you don't love me anymore? And all of that is attached to other shit for me. It's like, dude, I don't love myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I am relying on them to exist, to stay, relying on them to stay the same so that I can find also my
identity.
So that I can keep finding my identity through them, mm-hmm. stay the same. And I think that, yeah, it's helpful just to be really honest with them about all of those feelings and also to really hear them and really receive them and not try to take everything that they say personally, mm. and think that it has something to do with me, because none of it does. And that, and the Marco Polo app specifically, that Marco Polo, I think, is amazing because you can record a video message that is the level of intimacy that you would have on, like, a FaceTime, mm-hmm. but you can record it so that the person can watch it when they have time to watch it, and they can watch it in segments, and they can reply to it as they see fit in the same format. And it's just always waiting there. And
like a text.
Yeah. And it's like, you can't talk over them like you would on a FaceTime or a call or something. Like, you can
sometimes sometimes when we're fighting, we'll just split up in Marco Polo because it makes the other person listen. If they want to respond, they have to listen to the message.
Literally.
And so it's really helpful for me. I'm really impulsive. And when I'm angry, I'm just like, I can't stop myself from saying the first thing that comes into my head. I can. It's just really hard. And I don't, is the fact. And so I feel like this, yeah, it's a really literally incredible tool actually for relationships that I don't think it gets enough credit for.
Literally. It's so specific. And like, I never thought about it really until the last like year or two of like, of utilizing it, just how much it facilitates. But that level of intimacy and vulnerability and radical honesty, I think is the only way to do literally anything in polyamory, but especially like transitioning a relationship. But also like, it's nice. And this is something that I've only just recently come to terms with. Dating is fun.
No, yeah.
It's fun to date. No, it's fun to just be like, you know, I'm just gonna like meet some people, and it doesn't need to be that serious because I already have, I'm getting the emotional connection from the people that like me and my other partner have a very deep, long, we've been together for a long time. So the way that we're going to connect is very specific and deep. You and I have a very specific and deep and intimate and long, rich in a way that I've never even had a relationship be rich kind of connection. So I don't actively need to seek emotional intimacy like that with
like anyone. High stakes emotional intimacy.
And y'all can be wherever you need to be. They're literally on the other side of the country. You're, thank God, here.
Sometimes I'm in another town over.
And it's not immediately over. It's like an hour away. But that in the time, so there's like alone time, which is dope. There's also baby shark time and now Rue time. And so that's all nice. But it's also nice to like flirt with people on that you meet on the internet.
Absolutely.
And just like, it can be low stakes and several people and no big deal and everyone's having a good time. And we're all, thankfully, the coronavirus has made us all aware of our health in a way that we should have been anyway.
That's right.
So I'm like, you know, let's just all stay vaccinated, stay
STI
fucking ourselves, stay STI tested, fuck yourself on Google Meet or FaceTime or Marco Polo or whatever the fuck with whoever, whenever, group. I would like to go to a group circle jerk on like Google Meet, Zoom, a Zoom circle jerk. That is happening. And please invite me, whoever. I would go to anyone. I think for the most part, I think I'll go to any virtual circle jerk.
I would definitely be like making dinner or something and look over your shoulder a few times.
I think it's going to be 100% the background of the Zoom circle jerks. Be somebody fucking jerking off and somebody right behind them making dinner. Like coming through like, you want chicken? No, I only heated that one up. Anyway.
Babe, should we do leftovers? Because remember last night you made a really good thing. Shepherd's pie.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Anyway, yeah. Good luck with all this. It seems like
I'm not
you
done.
Know what to do.
Oh. Okay, so I do also want to talk about not wanting to lose him, but you also don't want to be crying every day. You say, I hate long distance relationships, comma, like truly hate, period. Bro.
That's real.
You don't want to do this.
No.
And, you know, I was telling somebody I was on the phone with the other day. I was like, we tell ourselves the answer all the time. Oh, my very good friend, Cookie Monster. Shout out to you.
Hell yeah, Cookie Monster.
She was telling me that she was at a bar and it was the first time she was like out like with she had a really hard breakup a couple years ago. And like she's been single maybe like a year ago. Anyway, she's been single. Pandemicing, not in the life. She was at this bar and she was just thinking about what it feels like to be open to being hit on or like, you know what I mean? Get a date. She's also newly queer, which
I'm living for that. That's about to be your
BFF, you better believe it. Okay. That's so she's at a bar and she was saying she was getting overwhelmed at the concept. Like just that, like there are people want to fuck other people. Like we're here. Like I'm open for that. Maybe. Am I not? I don't know. COVID. You know? she said to me, I wanted to crawl out of my skin.
Mm.
And she said, instead I went to the bar, I did this thing, whatever. I got my drink. I just sat back down. I was like, didn't talk to anybody, but it was like, I did enough for the night, whatever. But I was like, yeah, you are shedding a skin.
Mm-hmm.
When you're facing your fears, you do want to crawl out of your skin. It's not a bad thing. It's just a message. You know what I mean? It's like your body being like, yeah, crawl out of this skin. It's not working for us anymore. And I just feel like what's cool about reflecting on just, you know, because I wrote something the other day that I sent you and was like, I want you to reflect on this thing I wrote with me. It's just like externally processing your emotions. You know what I mean? Just like you would talk to somebody. I feel like writing stuff like this person wrote to us, you can read it and see what you want. You can underline every word that has to do with movement, like crawling out of one's skin or like, let's see.
That's literally you saying,
and that's you telling yourself what you want, what you need, what you're, you know, so
it's your psychologist, that's your psychologist brain,
but it's our subconscious informing what we are and want and do and are thinking, you know, about doing. So anyway, I just feel like that is important to note. And when you're, I think space, the most concrete thing I can tell you is get Marco Polo and give yourself a specific amount of time, especially if this person that you're trying to date is an Aries or loving in love with is an Aries because they seem like an Aries or they have Aries placements. Just being like, I want to move in together. Never mind. My bad for saying that. I feel like it's such an Aries, like, I don't want to lose you thing to say. And then later be like,
look, I just had to be direct with you about this book.
And then literally apologizing. Like, no, I'm going to be direct with you about the fact that I didn't mean to.
I fucked that up.
I'm like, sorry.
I know.
I know that I did. I apologize.
If I were you, I would get over it quickly because I'm already over it. But yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So I just feel like Marco Polo and take time. Give it 6 months. And Aries can respect a length of time. Knowing when the start and stop is, I feel like is a thing that's helpful, can be helpful. But if you want to take 3 months, 6 months, whatever, of not talking at all, and then at that point, get on Marco Polo, be like, how's it been? Whatever. This is my advice. I don't care what you do, but this is what I would never do this, but this is what I would tell somebody to do 100% of the time, is just take that time. And in that time, so much will become clear.
Literally.
Do you want to have you been loving your tiny house experience solo? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And
give yourself the chance to love it. Right. You know, don't be thinking that like it's a problem because it's not what you wanted anyway. Maybe what you wanted anyway is still coming.
But then so also like fill your time with shit that's dope. Like you could, I mean, again, I would never do this, but I really think I should if I were in this predicament, which is like, do an online circle jerk, do a knitting circle, like reconnect with that family member that you actually always fucking loved and really love hanging out with at the Christmas party, but you never said anything. And really, you just love to chat with them on the phone. Sometimes like fill your, like you told me that when I'm at my girlfriend's house, you have a list of things that you can do before you call me.
Yep.
And I love that so much because it is just like a thing that we need sometimes is like, here's a list of things that I can do that I need to be doing. But when my anxiety kicks in and I think what I should be doing is talking to my partner because it makes me feel good, which is good
and
important.
Well, it's just because it's what was happening before. It's really just a learned response, I think.
But it's also you being at our house, usually by yourself and like wanting comfort, seeking comfort. And that's okay too, to seek comfort. It's totally okay.
It is.
And so that's the thing is that like, if you give yourself an opportunity to think about other things, because when I'm hyper-focused on something like where's my girlfriend, which I do sometimes because I have abandonment issues and because I can, it's hard to think about other things. And so if I have a list of things that I could be doing, which is like plan this thing, sort this
my
folder.
My list of things is literally like do your nails, clean out your bag, paint, go take for a walk, go for a hike, take a bath,
play with the dog, play with the cat, make food.
But yeah, maybe it should be on there. I don't know. It's a bunch of things that I'm like, I would really like to do this, but I'm always having an excuse to not do it. And a lot of them are just things that are just purely joyful things. Like I love painting my nails. And even like that was one of the things that I wanted to get done tonight. You were at your girlfriend's house last night. I was like, I would love to take a bath and paint my nails. I sat in the bathtub for hours, literal hours watching the Romanovs on Amazon. It's so good. But mostly just like being in the bathtub, letting the day roll off of me. And because really the first relationship that I'm in outside of myself is with work, I devote myself 100% to work during the day. And then at night, I'm like, I need to release all that shit. And if you were here, I would be releasing that shit onto you to some degree. And we work together. So it's good that you are doing something else and good that I can take some time to myself to remember who
TFDF
I am.
I love that that's the time too that you do a lot of like flirting and then I can have you tell me about it. It's really hot.
Well, because there is a point in the evening, because I've been really enjoying my sexuality recently. And that has meant that I am more sexually aroused and like trying to fuck more. Turned on. And if you are being turned on at someone else,
I wouldn't assume all the things, you know what I'm saying?
No, but I mean, all the things she said, running through my head. The originals, man. Tattoo is out here representing the queer nation before we're ready.
Cue some of that.
TATU. I think we just sang was sufficient today, to be honest. Anyway, we need to get back here.
Yeah.
I really wanted to talk about Che Diaz, but maybe that can wait for next time.
I hate when there's a character that like reminds you so much of yourself that it makes you think about if you should be changing things about your life.
You are Che Diaz. Hey, it's Che Diaz.
Hey, I'm Che Diaz.
You're Che Diaz, for sure.
I wish I could be so attractive.
You are.
I know.
And
I
you do. And you are out here. Yeah. Sarah Mieres is your representation for real.
I'm grateful.
This
is definitely like a Sarah Mieres stan podcast.
It is.
Stan and account.
But it also a Cynthia Nixon stan account report podcast, because the character Miranda is having the most realistic 40-something coming out ever.
She's 55.
A 55-year-old coming at that. That's makes right. Even more she apps accurate is said, what they're putting like they, on screen.
I think she said accurate. To Steve, we're 55. It's not going to be something, something. That's what I think she's 55.
I think you're exactly right. Okay.
I know that Kylie knows how old she is.
I think they all are 55. And then people have been making comparisons to them being the same age as the Golden Girls, like when that show started.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
The Golden Girls were 55?
You know, it is That's intense crazy. To think about what it was fashionable to be as a 50-year-old woman.
In my head, they were like minimum 70.
Literally. But I'm thinking about it. It's like in the 80s, you did need to look like a granny at 50.
Definitely.
That was the whole
fashion.
They
were not letting women be old at all.
And sexy. Not that that's Damn. Not sexy. It's just very niche sexy. I don't want to say nobody's turned on by that.
Sex in the City, the new Golden Girls.
I'm living for it. I think we are culturally making it that, you know.
I live for the franchise. They're doing that shit. Charlotte's whole storyline is my most favorite thing.
I'm getting
Nicole
into it.
Ari Parker is just
I live for
a
her.
Gift.
I have since the beginning
God.
Of time.
Literally, she's perfect. And there's just way more we could say, but maybe we'll save it for next time.
Yeah.
Astro thought of the week?
I don't think I have one.
Mercury is still retrograde.
Is that right? But Venus is station direct.
Venus has station direct. There's a bunch of other shit going on. It's Aquarius season.
Yeah.
That's always kind of fun. I kind of fuck with Aquarius season.
I will say that I have found myself to be much more like living into sort of those parts of my identity. Just like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for better and for worse, I do feel a little bit stronger at saying, like, having my opinion and sticking with it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even though I'm able to do it in, I think, a less expert-y way as I'm working on, you know what I mean? But especially in relationships, I'd say, it feels very, like, matter of fact. Like, there are facts. There are facts. I don't have enough time to do this. I do have enough time to do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. I need to say this. I need to not say that. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning a lot of lessons about myself and my needs, and I think that's a very Aquarian
deeply
reality moment time in life. Anyway, maybe that is my astro thought of the week. I always think I don't have that. One and then I do.
You got to. All right, let's cut it. You ready?
What about yours?
That was my astro thought of the week, is that Mercury's retrograde. Okay. It's Aquarius season. It's Black History Month.
Hey,
it's welcome. Oprah season. Mm-hmm. It's There's so many big Aquarians. Like there are a lot of Aquarians who have made a very prominent impact on this world. And y'all get on my nerves sometimes, and you know who you are. But I do love all of you at the exact same time. And I really appreciate just the straight, direct energy. Just let it be known. And also break a boundary, because who needs a boundary? Nobody needs a barrier or a boundary ever. Be unique. Be yourself.
I love it. I agree.
I love it. Thank you, Aquarians.
Happy Aquarius season.
Happy Aquarius season.
I love you, Jessamyn.
Oh, I love you.
Catch y'all later.
Dear Jessamyn is produced by Tenderfire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram at Dear Jessamyn, or head over to our website, dearjessamyn.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show. And while you're there, write us a review. They really help us out a lot, and they give you a place to let folks know how you feel about our show. Here's our team. Kylie C. Roberts is our editor/producer. Angel Foster and Naya Williams do our social media. Jamie Lepper draws our art, and Fruit Snack plays our theme song. Montez Mickles is our director of production. Anna Rooney is my chief of staff. Amber Richardson is Ash's chief of staff. Ash Danger Phoenix is my co-host and co-producer. And I am Jessamyn Stanley. And we believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Tenderfire.
Drop Page.